Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Good morning. We just praise God for being here. I know I'm a few minutes early, and just bear with me here while we wait for the 10:30 hour to roll around. We just thank God for being here today. We praise God for it being the first Sunday in November. Wow, November. Down to month number 11 out of 12 of this year. This year has rolled by in what seems to be such a rapid pace. God has brought us to November. It's been an interesting year. The COVID-19 pandemic has been such a vast portion of this year. But God has kept us through this year. And for this, we just can say hallelujah, praise God. Praise God for the first Sunday in November. It's like, man, where has the year gone? So much we have experienced in this year. You know, we've had times of sadness in this year. But we've also had much time of hope and rejoicing in this year. Our God has not abandoned us in this year, and we're grateful. We just thank and we praise God. Come on in. Come on in. We say welcome to you. Welcome. This morning, I'm the greeter at the church. I'm saying welcome. I'm hugging you as you come in the door. I'm glad to see you. Welcome. We just thank God for you being here. Take the time while I'm, you know, just getting through some preliminary stuff. Take the time and tag some of your friends. Reach out to some of your friends and say, good morning. Welcome your friends in. Just send them a, you know, I don't know how to do this stuff. You know how to do it. Tag your friends in there and share this post that your friends might also get a word of hope and encouragement on this morning. We just thank God for your being here with us. We praise God. We know, we want you to know that if you don't know nothing else, we love you. We love you with the love of Jesus, and that love that Jesus shares with us, we share with you, that it will help you get through this week as well. Now, before we begin talking, we just, I know I keep saying it, and I've had a few people even say, why do you say that every week? Because it's still important. Please practice our safety practices. You know, the washing of our hands, the sanitizing, and please, above all, put that mask on. We've got to do these things, people. In our area here in Wisconsin, our numbers are just absolutely astounding at the rate that they're going up. We don't need them to go up. We need them to go down. And you may feel that you're safe and you don't have to do these things because you're okay. Do it for somebody else. Do it for people that you love. Do it for people that, you know, I've known many people that have contracted the virus and they're asymptomatic. They show no symptoms at all. They're not the horrible sights that we see of people being hospitalized and, God forbid, even dying. But somebody else that may get this virus because you perpetuated it may end up being that victim. So for that reason, if nothing else, find yourselves sanitizing. Find yourself washing your hands. Find yourself putting that mask on every time you walk out the door. And make sure to limit your going out. I know we go stir crazy up in the house. I'm right along with you. I'm tired of this. But because I know of the value of social distancing, find yourselves only making those necessary trips. And if we all pitch in here together, we'll find that we will survive on top of this COVID-19 pandemic. We want to take the time from New Life Church to thank each and every one of you that continue to send in your financial support. You can give using the Givelify app on your own personal device. You can go to our website at nlracine.org, nlracine.org. And there at the bottom, you will see give, donate, and you can give using the buttons there. You can still mail a check or a money order into our church Address, 1529 North Wisconsin Street, Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Our office is not manned on a regular basis, but somebody gets there to check the mail and check the messages on a regular basis. Feel free to give us a call. If you need to leave us a message, you can do it on the Facebook there. You can reach us through our website, nlracine.org. nlracine.org. You can also send us snail mail. You can leave us a voicemail at 262-417-7363. And know that at our soonest convenience, somebody will get to you. And, you know, send us a prayer request. If you got something that you want us to pray with you on, you can, you know, if there's a need, reach out to us. Sometimes share with us your testimony of what God has done for you. We'd love to hear how God is helping you to get through these difficult days as well. Share with us. Just reach out. Know that we love you. Now, having said all of that, let's go to the Word of God on today. You know, I really have become an observer during these days of COVID-19 pandemic. And I just sit and watch people. I listen to people. I hear what's going on. And I just hear so many people express the frustration with, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. And this morning, I want to address when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. When things are overwhelming. You're doing all the things that you should. And yet and still, there's heartache. There is depression. There is just not feeling good. There is being tired. There is sadness. There are all of these things that we experience in today. You know, be for real. We experience, I'm a happy person. Just by nature, I'm just a happy person. I love to laugh. I do all these things. But I still have my moments of sadness. My moments of heartache and hurt. You know, when somebody calls me and informs me that the passing of someone else, I hurt right along just like you do. When I have to go and be the officiant at somebody's funeral, I hurt just like everybody else. But I've learned some things to do when I don't know what to do. Our scripture this morning, we're going to look at Psalms 34. And this is a particular scripture that was written by David, but it was written at a time when David was going through. You understand going through? David was going through. Now, understand David. David is this young shepherd boy that's just living his life, and God anoints and appoints him the new king. The old king, Saul, has lived his life and has, although he has been chosen by God to be the king of God's people, Saul decided he was going to do what he wanted to do. You know, that's why it's I warn you, be careful about what you choose to do in your life. Because what Saul decided to do was not honor God. Saul decided, I'm going to do things the way I want to do them. And yeah, I know God said this is how I should do them, but I'm going to do them the way I want to do them. And as a result, God became displeased. You don't want God to be displeased with you. You don't want God to be displeased with your life. And I think, this is just my personal thought, I think that sometimes because we're going on the way we're going and we feel like everything is fine and I'm not feeling the anger of God, then everything is okay. Nope. God is the wrong one to make angry because of how you choose to live your life. So God decides, I'm going to take away from you the kingdom. It will no longer be yours. It will no longer go down to your children. It will no longer stay in the family line. And he picks somebody new. And the new one that he picks is David. Well, Saul wasn't taking that real, you know, he wasn't real thrilled about that. And so Saul decides, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to get him. I'm going to kill him. Saul's son, Jonathan, and David were very good friends, very close friends. And he even let his son know, I'm killing him. I know he's your friend, but I'm going to kill him. And then Saul set out. If you look in 1 Samuel, there were several times where Saul set out to kill David. And David has to run for his life. David has to flee. David has to get away because Saul is out to get him. Not just get him, but Saul is out to kill him. And so David writes this particular psalm in Psalm 34. I'm going to read from the New International Version. I'm just going to start reading. I'm going to stop when I stop. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Verse number 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. And he protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. I read in your hearing from the 34th number of Psalms, verses 1 through 22. So now we got David. David wrote this while he's fleeing from Saul. He's running away from the one who was out to kill him. And the scripture lets us know some things that David did when he didn't know what to do. I want to help you this morning. When you don't know what to do, the first thing that David did in verses 1 through 3 lets us know, he worshiped God. David worshiped the Lord. He says, I'll extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. In David's worship of God, David extols God or praises God enthusiastically. You know, when you do something enthusiastically, you know, I used to laugh because my mother used to love to watch football games, basketball games. And when she had her team, you might as well just hang it up. You weren't going to sit there and enjoy that game. Because when they did something that, you know, they won a touchdown or made a touchdown or got a basket, mama would jump up out of that chair and be hollering and screaming. She was enthusiastic in her cheering of the game. She didn't just sit there and go, yay. Yeah, no, she was enthusiastic, and the neighbors could hear her hollering and screaming. You want to worship God when you don't know what to do, when you're sad, when you're lonely, when you're depressed, when you're down. Find yourself worshiping God. In David's worship of God, he enthusiastically praised God. In his worship of God, he gave God glory. He honored God. He reverenced God. He gave God his respect. He exalted God. David worshiped God. Why would he worship God? Why am I telling you that when you don't know what else to do, you should worship God? Psalm 13 and verse 5 lets us know. It says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I can worship God. You can worship God because of God's unfailing love for you. You sit there and feel lonely sometimes, feel like you all by yourself. You even tell yourself, nobody understands. Don't nobody care. Baby, I want you to understand God's love for you is unfailing. It never stops. Now, sometimes the reason you can't experience God's love, the reason you don't feel God's love, well, I don't feel like he loves me. That's because you got too much other stuff in the way. I can't feel the love of God when all I'm going to keep in my face, all I'm going to pull to me is the unloving. Instead of focusing on who don't love you and who don't care about you and who don't like you and how bad this is, how about focusing on the fact that God loves me? Things may not be going the way I want, but God loves me. And in his love for me, he cares for me. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. It points out, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you, God, created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You got to understand, people, God created you. You say, okay, yeah, God created me, so what? Do you understand? God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. So why would this perfect, holy, righteous God create you to be something that's a mess? God, who loves me, created me. God, the perfect one, created me. So I matter. And sometimes I don't need to worry about mattering to everybody else. I matter to me. To me, I'm my biggest fan. You got to see that for yourself. I'm talking about what you do when you don't know what to do. You worship God, who loves you with an unfailing love, who provides us with salvation, and then who will never leave us or forsake us. You know, I messed that up. I just messed that up. I quoted to you Joshua 5:1-5, but I read to you Revelation 4:11. Let me run this back. Joshua 1:5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, now this is God speaking, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God says. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And then in Revelations is the verse where it tells us that he created us. So when you don't know what to do, you got to find yourselves worshiping our capable God. A God who is able to bring about a change. A God who is able to do different. A God who is able to let the sun shine on a cloudy day. When you don't know what else to do, how about you worship God? And now David, remember, David is running for his life because King Saul is out to kill him. And the next thing David does in verse number 4-6, we find, he says, I sought the Lord. I seeked after him. I know that's improper grammar, but you get, he looked for God. And he says, when I sought the Lord, the Lord answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. When we seek God, when we look for him. Now, there's an old saying that we have out on the streets. Y'all done heard it before. Usually we think about it in terms of looking through our booze telephone, looking through email and stuff. And we say, well, if you look for something, you're going to find it. It works when you're looking for God, too. When you seek after God, you will find him. When I don't know what else to do, I need to seek after God. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 11, he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. When you seek after God, call out to God. Talk to him. Now, many times people struggle with praying and they say, I can't pray. I don't even know how to pray. I tell you very simply, praying is just talking to God. And when you talk to God, God is so gracious that you don't have to fix it up and talk a certain way. I just got to tell him what's going on. Look, God, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. And sometimes you can't even express it because it's so overwhelming. God is just overwhelming. I don't even know what to say. God hears us when we cry out to him. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15 denotes, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If I ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. If I ask anything according to his will, God is going to hear me. So I tell you, when you don't know what to do, seek God. Search after God. Reach out to God. I seek him. Why? Because as the verse pointed out in verse 4, he delivers me out of all of my fears. He delivers me. He makes it better. He helps me. He rids me of all of those things. You know, I got certain friends and relatives that I don't care what I might need, I could just put the cry out to them and say, look, I need your help. I cry out to them for their help because I know they're going to come through. They want to rearrange their schedules. They will get their transportation. They will do whatever they have to do to come and see about me. Well, sometimes my issues are greater than what my friends and family can help me out with. That's when I cry out to God because I matter to God. So when I don't know what to do, I heed the words of Psalm 46 and 1. God is my refuge, our refuge, and our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. How many times are we in trouble? Are we in need? Are we in situations? And we cry out to everything but God. And then we're surprised. Because we're not delivered out of our situations. Nothing changes. Well, stop reaching out to the one. Stop seeking out for somebody, something who cannot help you. Instead, I suggest you reach out to God. David, while he's being sought after to be killed, reaches out to God. So not only does David worship God, David seeks after God. And also, David then experiences God. Notice what he says in verse number 8. Taste and see, experience, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Now, why would David tell us to taste and see that God is good? Your experiences, what you have been through and what you have experienced, help to fuel where you go from here, where you go from today. If I had a good experience at a restaurant, I'm real quick to want to go back to that restaurant and I want to tell all of my friends about my good experience at that restaurant. And I go back to that particular restaurant because I know of what I experienced when I was there, and I want that experience again. It baffles my mind why many of us will experience the goodness of God, and then the next time that we should be reaching out to God, we choose to do something else. Why would you turn to something else when you know that there's nobody that can do you like the Lord can do you? Nobody can love you completely. Nobody can bring you out like he can. And then in the next go round, you reach for something else. It's kind of foolish. It's kind of crazy. But it's what we often do. So today, I just kind of say, you know, when you learn better, do better. Sometimes we do some things because we don't really think about it. When you think about the fact that I'm really messing up, I'm messing up my own life. Yeah, things are bad for me. Situations are bad. You know, I look at the pandemic situation. As many of you all know, you know, that know me know, my lung situation is bad. It's been bad for many, many years. So I take extra precautions for myself. I limit my going out of the house. I don't let people, you can count on one hand how many people been in my house since March when all of this stuff started. And then when they're here, my niece Brittany, Brittany always checks on me. Not the rest of them do too, but Brittany checks on me. And one day we were laughing because I said, Brittany, I just realized I'm in the house by myself. But I'm in here sanitizing like the house is full of people. Every day I was wiping down everything. Ain't nobody in here but me. But I was doing what I heard we do because I didn't want to take any chances on me. I don't want to take any chance on me catching COVID-19 because I feel like with my lungs, I'll be in a bad situation. So I do everything I can do. I've had people say, we just want to stop by and talk to you for a while. Okay, we can sit outside, but we ain't coming in the house. And there's some that decided that if they had to sit outside, that they just won't come by. That's okay. I've had people that invite me to go to places and come and just, we just go hang out. No, I can't do it. Why? Because I'm looking out for me. What am I saying? I'm saying you got to do what works for you. And if you know God works for you, you've tasted of God before. You've seen the blessings of God in your life before. Why would you turn and do something else? And then be surprised because it ain't working. Many of you have turned away from God. You say, well, no, I ain't turned away from God. Yeah, your actions show that you no longer trust God. You no longer depend on him. You no longer call out to him. In many cases, we're like Saul. We go and live our lives and do what we want to do. And we decide that I can do what I want to do. Well, I can't go into the church. And they ain't having church no more. They may never have church again. I say we'll never go back to some things will never become normal again. But I ain't going to never stop trusting in God. I will never stop depending on him. I'll never stop worshiping him. Because, yeah, while it's wonderful to worship him in the sanctuary, I worship him wherever I am. If it's in my house, if it's in the car, if it's sitting on the steps. Why? Because in my worshiping him, I have a closeness with him. And he's worthy of that. So not only do I worship God, I'm talking about what to do when you don't know what to do. Not only do I worship God, not only do I find myself worshiping him and then seeking after him and then experiencing him that I might be reminded of his love for me, I also fear God. Now, when I'm talking about fearing God, I'm not talking about being afraid of him. God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. But this fear, when you read in the Bible and it talks about fearing God, it's talking about having the proper respect for God. And many of us have lost the respect for God. You know, think about it. Think about it. There was a day and a time when people reverenced God, had a proper respect for God, so that if they walked past the church, just walked past the church, understanding that the church represents the place where God dwells, they cleaned their language up. They didn't say certain stuff. I've seen people that were, you know, they were doing certain things. They wouldn't do them outside the church. Nowadays, folks don't reverence God to the place where they'll do it in the church and say it doesn't matter. God still is worthy of our respect. God is worthy of our honor. And so I'm going to respect him by the way I live. There's some stuff I'm just not going to do. Why? Because I belong to God. And as a child of God, nope, I won't do those things because they'll bring shame on him. And I don't want to do anything to bring shame on him. I respect God. I respect God. Why would I want to respect God? I respect him because as verse number 7 points out, the angel of the Lord encamps around me and those who fear him, and then he delivers them. I want to respect him that he might continue to protect me. I want to respect him because in my respecting of him, he cleanses me. Cleanses me. Keeps me free from dirt and evil, from sin. He cleanses me. So what do I do when I don't know what to do? The last thing I want to make mention of is the fact that verse number 15 through 22 point out the fact that David remembers God. And not only does he remember God, he remembers that God is on his side. How many of you can say unequivocally, I know God is on my side? Don't just say it out of a sense of, well, I'm just saying something like we teach our children to say their ABCs. No, I know God is on my side. The day might look dark, the day might look dreary, I might not be feeling well, but God is on my side. And if God is on my side and I can remember God is on my side, I'm going to win. I'm going to win every situation I go through. I'm a winner. Why are you a winner? Because God is on my side and God does not lose any battle. You got to remember you're not alone. Now, some of us choose to live alone. I'm not sure I can do anything about that. But you got to remember, God is, if I will allow God to be with me, God is with me. And he's never going to leave me or forsake me. So I will always win. When I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. I got to remember that God is on my side. And if God is on my side, his eyes are upon me. He's watching me. He's watching out for me. There's a video that's on social media where a man is in the room with his children and the little baby is climbing up out the crib. And all at once, the baby goes falling over the edge of the crib. And that man from somewhere gains some strength and he dives and catches the baby before the baby hits the floor. His shoes over one place. He caught that baby. Why? Because his eyes were on that baby. And he did everything that was necessary to protect the baby. Now, maybe he broke his leg when he fell down there on the floor. Maybe he hurt his arm. That didn't matter. I got to protect the baby. God wants to protect us, the baby. And he will when we remember that he's on our side. His ears are open and listening to us. God wants to hear from you. When is the last time you just talked to the Lord? Just poured out the sentiments of your heart, said to God the things you couldn't you feared to say to anybody else. And then he delivers us out of our many troubles. God is close to us and he rescues us. So when trouble comes, when it looks dark, when it looks gloomy, when we don't know what to do, we should worship God. We should seek God. We can experience God. That helps us to remember. We fear, properly respect God. And then we remember that God is with us. Because when I can remember that he's with us, I'm on the winning side. And I shall not lose. It may look dark today, but that's okay. I got the sun with me. And even in this darkness, the sun will shine. We love you with the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring about us enough to provide us each day with the things that we need for today. Thank you. Thank you for loving us when many times we didn't love ourselves. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you, Father. We thank you that you loved us enough that even while we were sinners, You sent your son Jesus that he might die for us and be that perfect one. He rose again on the third morning, paying the price for our sins. And then not many days later, ascended back into heaven. There he will intercede and atone for us. Thank you. Father, even now, forgive us. Forgive us for any sins that we have committed, anything that we have done wrong. Sometimes our wrong was not thinking of ourselves in the way that you would have us to think of ourselves. Sometimes we think too little of ourselves. We forget that we are children of the King. We forget that our Father is rich in houses and land. We forget these things. Father, forgive us. Because in our forgetting of these things, we then seek to do other things that are not pleasing to you. Wash us clean, make us whole, and help us to forgive ourselves that we then might move forward in you. We want to be who you want us to be. We want to share in the love that you have for us. So help us today where our belief is not strong, where our faith is not strong. Help us in our unbelief. Help us to read and study your word and get an understanding of who you are that it might enhance, that it might further our walk with you. Now today, God, we ask that you meet the need wherever there might be. Whatever the need might be, you meet it, Father. Help us to do what we can to help others, but when it's greater than us, we rely on you. We depend on you. God, open the door of the blinded eye. Let those who don't see you in a very clear way, let the scales fall off their eyes, even as you did with Saul, who became Paul. That they might see you and know you for who you really are. Let us today have a real experience with you. Speak to our hearts, God, in a way that we know that it is you. Let us hear you and understand you, that we might come to know you in a very real way. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for not forgiving us. Thank you for not forsaking us. Even when we feel abandoned, you are there. Thank you. Now, God, let us go and live today in victory that you have given us. Let us come into that abundant life that you have for us, that we can then share it, experience it ourselves, and share it with others, that they too might come to know you in a very real way. We give you the glory and honor because you are God. You are a God who never leaves us, a God who never forsakes us, a God who never forgets about us, a God who never abandons us. Thank you, Father. We ask these blessings in your Son Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now you go and have a good day today. Share the love of Jesus. Know that Jesus loves you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. God loves you. And because he loves you, his love is real and it's there for your experiencing. Reach out to us. Share with us your testimony. Share with us your praise report. Help us to remember what God has done. We love you. You can hit us up on our website, nlracine.org. Send us a message there. Send us your testimony. Send us your praise report. Send us your concern. We love you. God bless you. Go and have a great day today.